discovering the body more and understanding like how breath work works on the body, how different touch components work on our bodies.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And ladies, you know, perhaps you have heard and felt, quite frankly, right, your divinity, right, the part of you that exists beyond your human self. So extraordinary, so expansive. You are so much. You are so much more than your human expression. And yet, here we are in human form. So why did we choose to be human? Why do we have physical bodies? And what is some of the advantages, some of the delights, some of the most ecstatic experiences that we can have here in our human body? Like, we want to take advantage of this, right? we want to live it to the best, to its fullness. And today we have a wonderful guest who is going to take us deeper into this rabbit hole of why we have these bodies and what we can really experience through our bodies. Let's welcome Eva Rida, who is an accomplished femininity and female pleasure and intimacy coach, who is really here to help women reconnect to their bodies and their sexual energy. Eva has hosted over 5 international retreats and workshops and coaching sessions. So she comes to us to dive deeply into this conversation. Thank you. Thank you so much, Eva, for being here today.
Thank you so much for this invitation. I'm so excited.
So let's just dive right into it, right? What do you see as the advantage of being in a physical body?
I think it's really to experience. For me, it's personally to experience, to feel, to have these beautiful, to live, really. Like, I think if we would have chosen to, you know, be always, of course we are consciousness and of course we are the energetics, but I feel the advantage of a body is really to experience contrast, to experience pleasure, to experience joy, to experience sometimes sadness, to experience the pain as well. I think like we came for this duality and we came for this expansion. And I think most importantly, we came to live. Like, I think, it's so easy. I think in the spiritual world, we can say so many times, like, I meditate, I connect with that, and I feel the energy. And yes, of course, we can do that. And of course, it's a beautiful experience as well. I'm not saying anything against that. But I also truly believe some things need to be experienced. And that's why we have chosen a body. That's why we have chosen this experience to, yeah, fully live, to be, yeah, to be alive and to expand and to experience more. Yeah.
I've often spoke about before I really came into embodiment, you know, I was going through meditations and they were very blissful. I was hitting bliss energy and they were very expansive and beautiful. But there was like a disconnect between the meditations and the daily life, right? Which I feel like is where embodiment, the body really bridges that, right? It bridges that ethereal experience, the ethereal self with the physical self, which is so important. And you mentioned contrast, which I just adore. So can you dive into that a little bit more? What do you mean by contrast? And yeah, just explain that a little bit more for us.
Yeah, I mean, contrast is obviously, I think we come here and like what I have many times with like a lot of clients and normal conversations is like, we want to be love and light all the time and all this bliss, which is beautiful, but to really honor bliss and the light, there needs to be darkness, right? To see the light, we also have to honor the darkness, like the way we have the sun, we also have the moon, right? So like there is really the fullness. And I think this is really what it is about, that we kind of see there is nothing like that is good or bad. It's really like the fullness of it, right? And I mean, sometimes it feels more pleasurable, a certain experience, and other experiences feel less pleasurable. And because we have also experienced less pleasurable experiences or emotions or whatever we want to call them, we also kind of see like, this is actually joyful for me. This is pleasurable for me. This is fun for me. And I'm not saying necessarily that we only have to make this not so wanted experiences, but I also believe because we have the fullness of it and because we have the contrast of it, we appreciate it more. And we also, I think not only the appreciation, I think we also get to know ourselves better, right? Through these kind of experiences. Because sometimes I feel like in this whole love and light debate, it's like, yeah, sometimes it's also really not realistic. And I like what you said, like it also brings this, okay, when I meditate, when I'm on my meditation pillow, when I'm in a retreat, when I'm in a coaching session, it feels beautiful and it feels amazing. And then I'm going back into my daily life and I'm hating it, you know, and I feel this is really not what we came here for. We didn't come here for, oh, I'm blissed out when I'm meditating, but I'm hating my day-to-day life, right? This is also not what contrast is. And this is really like, okay, how can I bring more of what I enjoy into my daily life? And at the same time, also acknowledge and accept and love what I may not love so much at this moment, right? And kind of reducing it, right? Like, I really say it's reducing it. It's not like totally pushing it away, but really being like, okay, this I didn't enjoy too much. I let it be. And I do something else instead, right? Yeah, and I think this is really the whole, I think it in the end, it comes back for me personally to accepting wholeness. Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of the seasons. And, you know, there was a period of my life where I was teaching scuba diving. This was a very long time ago. And I was really chasing the sun. And I didn't really experience seasons. I was in basically summer. You know, I was in the tropics. So it was like the dry season, sun all the time. And, you know, I had a client very early on when I first started doing this say to me, well, I would miss the seasons. And I was like, psh, you know, I was like 20 and I was just like, whatever, you know, and I ended up missing the seasons because there was really nothing to change it up. There was no difference. And, you know, just to take it very literal and very physical, I had one wardrobe. And I wore those clothes all the time and just get really sick of them, you know, whereas when you have the seasons, there's that change, right? And you get to experience the same reality, your same life through a slightly different lens of experience. And, you know, you get to experience a different wardrobe, right? Like your fall or winter clothes. And sometimes I even forget. I'm like, oh my God, I totally forgot I had this, you know? And it's like, ooh, it's like having it, buying it all over again, right? And like, yay, I get to wear new clothes, which is just like kind of fresh and exciting. And just as you said about, I love how you said about kind of like diminishing or reducing, right? The things that we don't like so much, you know, like, I don't think a lot of people would say, oh, I love going into the darkest time of the year, which is where we are on the Northern Hemisphere right here. But at the same time, well, how can we just kind of sink into that, right? How can we just kind of sink into, okay, it's getting darker early. Like, what pleasure can that bring me? And or how can I bring my pleasure into it getting darker? And like, bring that joy, bring that sense of self into a different lens, which I think is really a delightful challenge, you know, or like if it's back to the weather, if it's pouring down rain outside, okay, maybe you don't get to go outside and soak in the sun, but what can you do that still lights you up, right? And it challenges you, right? It challenges you in your experience.
Yeah, and I think it also broadens you. I think it's not only challenging, I think it also broadens you because, I mean, I think I love it. And I mean, I think seasons can be sometimes different. Like, I think also our seasons in life, you know, sometimes a season in our life can be 4 years, right? But at some point, we will crave also something else. And I think this is totally normal because I think personally, we didn't come here for stagnation, right? We came for contrast. We came for expansion. We came for different kind of experiences. And sometimes a season can be 1 month for the seasons of the cycle, or it can be a couple of years, right? It really depends on the personal journeys. But I think it also spices things up, right? And it makes also this expansion. And I really loved what you say, like in the unwanted, leaning into it, not like, you know, like, I mean, the tendency is really to wanting to get rid of it. And it's okay. And me personally, I think we don't have to suffer for things. I really want to kind of say that because I'm, you know, also I do like Theta healing, which is a method to clear on the subconscious level the energies. And sometimes I'm also feeling there's also this tendency of suffering and this addiction of suffering. This is not actually what I'm personally, and I'm sure also the same for you, this is not what I'm talking about when I'm saying lean into it. I'm not saying go even deeper into the suffering, go even deeper in the story. Like, detach yourself from the story, actually, right? And how can you reframe that story? And how can you see, like, this is actually working for me, right? Like, this is actually, okay, cool, it's dark, like, how, what can I do with the dark times? Maybe I have a new lover and I can play with him more or her than I could do in, you know, when it was like very hot all the time, like whatever it is. Or maybe it's a time for you to go into like your personal practice deeper, right? Into the embodiment practices because things are slower and there's time now. The time is always there, but now it may be easier for you to kind of take the time, right? Because it's dark and like, for example, I live in Spain, so we still have like beautiful weather during the day, but it gets really cold in the evening. So it's also nice to feel that, right? I feel it on the same day. I can be in shorts during the day and then I have to have like a really warm jacket in the evening. And it's also nice to be like, it's actually interesting. How does it feel to wear a bikini and a winter jacket within 24 hours? Yeah.
Yeah, I love that so much. And, you know, I love how you're talking about the nighttime because and the lover, right? Because a really beautiful thing about that, like if we go back to like the seasons of it getting darker is, yeah, I mean, on all honesty, you can spend a lot more time in candlelight. And candlelight to me is deeply romantic. And just even my partner and I were often, he loves candles. So we're often using candles. But in the summertime when it's staying light very late, you know, our usage of candles really decreases. And so just the joy of being in candlelight and experiencing each other in candlelight and how that kind of alters your visual sense and just the whole experience of being together in candlelight. So that's what sparked when you said that. And I really loved it because it is just a really beautiful thing. I love candlelight and experiencing our partners and spending more time in that space with each other. Or if we're not in a partnership, it can absolutely be with ourselves and with our own journey. And, you know, to me, contrast is about friction, right? Like duality creates friction. And that friction is what allows us to ultimately to expand. Friction is what creates the expansion of consciousness. So just as you said, it really does allow us to evolve, to increase ourselves, to become better, right? And so, you know, with your work and what you teach women and what you love to do, like what you just love to do for yourself and for other women, what are some of your favorite contrasts? And what is kind of how you work through it or some of the fun in that contrast for you?
Yeah, I think my personal contrast, and I think it was a very interesting journey also to acknowledge and own it for myself. My path started in terms of embodiment, started tantric. But at some point I realized, how do I say it with not meaning it in a judgmental way, but at some point I realized, only tantric experiences are a little bit boring for me. And I felt a little bit bad for it. I was like, well, I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But I'm also, you know, I live in Spain. I love this wildness and everything. And I'm also, I love also kinky things. And in my mind, it was so weird. Like, I could not bring it together in the beginning. I felt like, I felt an inner judgment, right? I was like, but I'm tantric now. You know, it was really weird. And at some point, I was like, no, how can I integrate that, right? Like, how can this be coming, how can this come together that it's not a contrast and that it works for me, you know, like not fully going into everything that Tantra is saying or not everything doing what the kinky scene is saying, but really like, I like this, I like that, I like that. And that makes me like, you know, this is joyful for me at the moment. And I think this is really cool because I realized that I had not only this in sexuality, but also in other parts of me where I kind of felt like the business side of me or the coach side in me. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like I don't have to fully follow all that. And I think that is really what comes back to wholeness and coming back to understanding and knowing ourselves again. And I think because I had these experiences and because I had this inner judgment, like I really had this inner judgment, and I kind of had to work through this to really be like, I actually totally enjoy it and I actually like it. And it's also very interesting to see, like, the moment I claimed that, the moment I was not trying to fit into the box anymore, because I felt also with retreats, I bring women to Egypt, for example, and I felt subconsciously, I felt myself like, I need to do it how the facilitator does it, did it when I went with her to Egypt. But it, I was like, I mean, it was a fun experience, but, you know, I do things differently. But subconsciously, I felt like, oh, but, you know, everybody else is doing it like that, or the female coaches are doing it like that. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I can do it my way, and I can claim and own all these different aspects. And this is really beautiful because I see this, you know, like, I think it's really beautiful to see how that shifted on the outside, like, but, you know, most importantly, how much space and freedom it brought within to kind of release these different roles to kind of to fulfill, overcoming this inner people pleaser, even on that spiritual level, and being like, no, this is who I am, and I have to accept that. I want to accept that I like tantric things, I like kinky things, I like the spiritual aspects, but I also like the really primal and embodied practices and everything. And I was like, this is so cool. And I think this is also really the journey that I think is so important for really everybody, because we are so unique. And I like what you said with the friction. The what sparked for me was really this picture of this diamond, how a diamond is being formed under pressure. And I mean, I don't like pressure too much. Maybe the friction word is the better word, because I think pressure is exactly what we kind of trying to decondition ourselves. But this, there is a certain, you know, like energy needed to form a diamond, right? And when we really think about it, a diamond or a gemstone, all of them are very unique. Even though we may try to do the same techniques or something, each piece is truly unique, right? And I think this is really the, for me, it's most fulfilling, like really reclaiming, okay, this is who I am. And then, you know, obviously, giving that teachings further to all the beautiful, gorgeous women, to being really like, this is who I am. And there's nothing wrong with me. There's absolutely nothing wrong with me that I don't fully fit into a specific box. Because I think as women, we are so conditioned with this people-pleasing syndrome that we, even in spiritual terms or something, we still try to fit into some boxes. And I think it's so empowering to be like, no, actually, why? Like, there's absolutely no reason to fit into that box. I can be tantric and this. I can be that and that. It's not either or, it's and.
I love that so much. And when you were saying all of that, I was getting the image of like, hey, if you want to eat ice cream in the middle of winter, right? If that's what lights you up, then fantastic. Like, ice cream doesn't have to be eaten in the summertime, right? Or if you want to wear, you know, I think a lot of it for women is, for me, when I was going through, like, I'm in my 40s now and I've got kids, you know, there was a lot of like subconscious beliefs that like, you're a mom, so there's some things that you can't wear, or like, you can't have that car because you're a mom, you know, or like, and it's, but that's all just social conditioning. Like, that doesn't really, has nothing to do with what lights me up and like what I feel good in to wear and who I see myself as a mother. Particularly, like, the mother label for women is really narrow. Like, this is what it means to be a mother. Well, screw that, you know, screw that, because like you said so wonderfully, we get to show up in our own genius and who we are uniquely. And not only that, but like, we need to do that. The world needs each one of us, each and every single one of these beautiful women out there, to be like, hey, this is me. I'm not that box and I'm not that box. I'm a little bit of this box and a little bit of that box, and I glue together and then I'm stapled over here and then I screw this on top, you know, like all the different pieces. We need that, right? We need our unique individuality and our unique expression so that we can all bring that special fractal of consciousness, that special fractal of light that is unique to each one of us into this reality. So I just love how you wrapped it into our authenticity and just being our unique genius.
Yeah, and I think also our aliveness, because I was actually reflecting about many things, like, recently. I mean, obviously, we're going towards the end of the year, and I was like, sometimes we are tired just because we do too much of things that we actually don't enjoy. We are not tired, or the inner flame is not, like, low because we do too much. In reality, is we do too little. And not with doing, because I'm saying put more stuff on your to-do list. I mean, do things that really light you up, because I have this also, like, in this whole feminine topic, and with a lot of women that I work with, they come normally from like a very performance-orientated environment, and they misunderstand being. And I think I really want to say that being does not mean you lie on the sofa and you're deaf, because this is the picture we have, right? We have, I either work a lot, I do and push myself, or I kind of numb myself with TV, social media, food, whatever, right? This is not relaxation, right? Relaxation can be actually you go surfing, you go scuba diving, right? And it's a very active form, of course, but you enjoy it, right? So I think this is something really to understand. And it's really, I mean, you said it so beautifully, like, what lights me up from the inside? And obviously, in that beingness, there is an action-orientating doing. But the doing is not anymore, I need to do that and I need to write that newsletter or something because it's written on my piece of paper of to-do list. Like, if you want to do that, when you feel that inner light and that really brings you joy, and you feel like, when I do that video or like this podcast, this really brings me joy because I'm sharing my message. This is a very different energy. And this is really important to understand. And I believe, as humans, and especially as women, we have lost, I don't want to say we have lost it, but we have lost the connection to it. And we misunderstand what being really means. And in this whole feminine conversation, we sometimes get lost in this feminine means being passive and you don't do anything anymore. And I'm like, no, this is not what feminine energy means. Like, you will be still taking action steps. However you feel, how it lights you up, like, if, you know, like, does it bring you joy? Because when you are in joy, you do a lot of things. You do actually much more things than when you force yourself. Like, I know it from myself, and I'm sure you can confirm that. When I'm really on fire, I'm so surprised how much stuff I can get done. When I force myself, I'm endlessly can procrastinate on stuff. And I think this is really what we have to understand. We really have to do more things that really light us up, that are really joyful for us, that make us feel alive. Yeah.
Yes. I love this so much. And I totally resonate with everything you're saying. And I too teach this to my clients as well. And I knew this is why we were going to have such a delicious conversation, because it's so important. And, you know, we have this fear around if we don't do pertaining to what the logical mind or social norms say that we should be doing, you know, and the truth of it is just what you said so wonderfully, as how much power we actually connect to, because the feminine is power. That's not the masculine. The masculine is strength. He can apply the power, but the power comes from the feminine. It is our femme power that is a primordial energy of creation in and of itself. And so that being, that ability to like sink into ourselves and really honor, like, does this light me up? And just as you said so wonderfully, when we say yes to what lights us up, I am like practically exploding out of my skin. I'm like, I have so much energy. I'm creating. And then I'll ebb a little bit, you know, but that passion, that aliveness is so incredible at the level of energy and creation that it really brings through to our physical reality. And just as you said so wonderfully, when we're saying yes to our no's, when we're saying yes to the things that our body says, you know, that doesn't feel good, that doesn't light me up, then we're just creating force is what we're doing. We're pushing against. And that is exhausting. That is tiring. That is draining, right? All of these words that I find so many women are like, I'm so drained. I don't have enough time. But it's not because of this that they're drained. It's not because of their external reality. It's not because of their children. It's not because of their partner, although that can add to it. But it's because of this, right? It's like, is your Shakti? Are you saying yes to that creative power within yourself, that aliveness? Because when a woman is alive, she radiates and she transforms everything and everyone around her.
Totally. And I love that you said it. And I think this is something that we all have to understand. Power versus force. And sometimes I'm not a native English speaker, right? But my English is very good and it doesn't really matter on all languages, really. We have to understand that it comes with a certain energy, and power has a different energy than force. And sometimes we use them at the same equivalent, but it's not. It's totally not. And force, and I love that you say that, because that forcing energy, yes, it is strength, and it, you know, there is a certain energy required, but it is this pushing energy. And this is exactly, and I also hear that so much, and I'm sure you also hear it so often, and I really want to say that here also in this whole conversation. The women come to me and say, like, I've been living in my masculine so much. I've been burned out by my masculine. And I'm like, no, 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 darling, you are not burned out by your masculine. You're burned out by your wounding. And you are like burned out of, you know, doing all these things that you are forcing yourself to do, of a sense of unworthiness, of getting attention or whatever. And this can be a wounding on feminine or masculine level. It doesn't really matter. But this is burning you out. It's not the masculine. And I think it's so important to say that, because I'm hearing it every time again. I'm like, the masculine is not the problem. Also, the feminine is not the problem. The problem is the wounding and your attachment to the suffering and the attachment to the story. And then I think sometimes with this whole polarity debate, we kind of feed that too much, because it goes into the head again. And I'm like, the problem is not in your head. The problem is that you are living too much in your head and too little in your body. And I think this debate, or like this understanding that force is something very different than power, I think understanding that with the head is very important, and feeling that in the body, because I love that you say that. And I was actually thinking about it the other day, because I come from corporate, right? Before I became an embodiment coach, I actually studied business. I was working 10 years in a corporate environment before I quit and started this. And before I even started this, I went traveling. And I remember that very well, that moment when I quit my corporate career, I wanted to go traveling. And it was very interesting, because I first resigned and then the idea to come traveling, and I wanted to travel within Asia for over a year. And it was so interesting. I was thinking about that time because I was reading in a blog somewhere back then that you need kind of, I don't know, I think it was 10K, 15K to travel. And I was never really good with saving money. And I was like, okay, how do I make this happen? And I had a couple of months only. And I remember I was very creative. I didn't know any of this, right? I didn't know any of this. I kind of only knew the secret. It was the only thing I understood back then. However, it was so interesting for me to think about that time because I really, my desire for traveling was super big. And it was a non-negotiable. I didn't have even a single moment that I was thinking, maybe I'm not doing it. Maybe I'm not worthy enough of that. Nothing. I was like, I worked so much, I left corporate before I do something else. I want to see the world. I want to travel. I really wanted to satisfy this craving and this desire of traveling. And I got creative as fuck to make that money happening. And it was so interesting. And I was working, I was going to the gym. I actually made Airbnb. I had like super fun guests. I was even sitting there and drinking wine with my guests. And when I think about that time, I was actually doing a lot, but I was absolutely zero stressed at that time. I was totally in my joy. It was absolutely non-negotiable that this journey will not happen. That money, you know, and then obviously law of attraction worked and I got a bonus. And there was like, you know, now I understand it from this perspective even more what was happening. But within a couple of months, I had the budget together to go traveling and it was super fun. And I like to think about that time because it was really something where I felt that my desire was so strong, my inner fire to make that happen and to have that experience. It would have been so easy for me to go into that, I don't have the money, I don't know how to do it. And I mean, back then, from the perspective of being an employee, creating within a couple of months 10K seemed so far. Like now I don't think 10K is such a big jump anymore. But back then it felt like such a big thing, right? It feels like maybe now 500,000 or something for me, you know? So, but it was so and I think this is really important that we know that feeling, that we know that inner desire, the inner power, and it really moved mountains. If I think about that, like how the ideas came, how the people came, how the bonus came, my guests and everything, it was so much fun. It was really such a fun experience. And I remember people were saying back then to me, like, how do you do all of that? And I was like, huh? I didn't even understand what they were saying. I was like, wow, it's super fun. I had so much fun. And I think we have to come back to that. We have to stop the overthinking and we have to come to that idea like, I want to experience that, whatever it is. Now it was my travel journey. It could be something, you know, for somebody else, it could be motherhood. For somebody else, it could be their desire of a business or like a really yummy relationship or maybe all of it, you know. I believe we have to come back to this and being like, I want to experience that. And I know I have the power to make it happen in a really fun way.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I resonate so much because when I was 19 years old, I did just that. I didn't go. I was headed for corporate and I actually took the other route and I just left. I saved up a bunch of money by working and I left and traveled the world and became a scuba diving instructor. But I had the same thing. Like I was at this point where I was headed to university and I was headed into corporate and I got this really strong hit not to do that and to go travel the world. And I didn't even think about it. And there was so much desire that came into my space. And just as you said, there was no what ifs this doesn't happen I wasn't even worried about doing this all by myself. I'd never even left the country by myself. I got on a plane by myself for the first time ever and left and went across the world to Fiji, you know? But none of that was in my head. There was only this, absolutely, this is what I'm doing. And I am so lit by it that I can't even stop myself. Like it's like a wave of energy that is creating all of it. And just as you said, for me, it was very fun. I was working 16-hour days and but none of it, I wasn't tired, none of it. It was just all fueled by desire, right? And I think back to the conversation of contrast in our bodies, we can really feel in our body, like let's be really honest with ourselves. We can really feel in our bodies when something is like, oh, yes, that is so exciting. I can feel the excitement. I can feel the potential and like, eh. Oh, okay, I'll do this because I feel like I have to, or I do this because my mind is telling me this is the logical path. This is illogical. This is what the hell do you think you're doing? But again, back to our bodies and back to the ability to feel that contrast, right, in our bodies and what that's really telling us.
Yeah, and I think it's so important for women to come back to that sense and to trust that, to trust the body, to trust the intuition, to trust that inner, I mean, we call it gut feeling, but in reality, it's really our intuition talking to us. It's really our soul talking to us and saying, do that. I came, you incarnated into a physical body to experience that, right? And it's so interesting because I think it's so easy also to get distracted and sidetracked into experts saying this or society saying that or some. It's so easy, right? It really comes back into trusting yourself, ultimately trusting yourself and a deep, deep connection with the body. And really, and I think this is really, at least, it was a big thing for me. Really, I had a really strong hate relationship with my body most of my life. And all these healings, all the embodiment practice, and particularly all these sexual practices, they were really the key for me to come back. I think it started similar, like what you said, like first this meditation part, and first it was theta healing. It was like really beautiful, and I felt so blissed out constantly, and I felt a connection with the divine, but the divine was always out there, right? The divine was always somewhere. And I think when Tantra came into my life, not I think, I know that, when Tantra came into my life, it was really the bridge. It was really the bridge, and understanding the divine is within me, and of course there's the, you know, like all around me as well, but really the body and the understanding and knowing and working with the body is really the bridge, and it's really the bridge to making this life as juicy as fuck.
Absolutely. And, you know, oh, I love how you say that the experts, right? Because for me, with business and all of that, absolutely I've gone down the road of like listening to the experts instead of listening to my body, which, as we've been talking about, that contrast of going against what you're feeling in your body is actually really powerful to learn and to do, not over and over and over again. But when we do the things against our innate sense and inner knowing and that wisdom that particularly women have, you know, that deep, deep wisdom. And we do something anyways, or we do something against it. It's so powerful to take that journey, you know, and sometimes I think we think that that's failure or, you know, failure. Like I shouldn't have done that. I should have listened to my intuition, but those journeys are so powerful because it is that contrast. It's a real rub. You know, where like you go against your wisdom and it's not what we were speaking about, where we're just lit by this energy and, you know, it's so beautiful. It's like this constant feeling of force. And it's like, oh, why does this feel so forceful? Right. And it's like, oh, because you're really in this friction. And that can be so expansive and so telling of understanding what that friction, what that force feels like in our bodies. And then what the ease and the fluidity feels in our bodies. And the more that we swing back and forth, you know, the more familiar we become in our bodies to that.
Yeah, totally. And I think I personally don't believe in mistakes. I believe, you know, it's just an experience, and it's a further invitation to expand further. And I hear also very much in the spiritual scene, like, yeah, the universe was testing you. I personally don't believe in that. I don't believe the universe is sitting there and sending you tests, like a math test, you know, like, I don't believe that. It's like, I believe totally, like, whatever is meant for us, we cannot mess it up. It's just our choice how long we kind of play with it. And exactly, like, sometimes the not sometimes, the contrast is needed, right? The contrast is needed, or that certain experience is needed. Like also when I think about my previous jobs or even now being a coach, I mean, I think also with retreats, like at the first retreats that I did, I was not sitting there and taking courses on how to do a retreat. I was like, I met somebody and we're like, okay, let's do the first retreat. And we made so many mistakes. Like when I think about that, I did tons of mistakes, whatever, right? But I learned so much in that one experience. And I was like, okay, this I like, this I didn't like. Okay, continue, you know? And then I think learning by doing is really the most fun way, because I think it's really, we can understand all of that logically. But really, in the end, at some point, we have to do things, right? And we have to experience them. And only from experience, we can learn. And then also the same thing, like, I mean, what is joyful for me can absolutely not be joyful for you, right? Like, I mean, talking, for example, about the retreat now, like, maybe what I classified, I didn't like that. As a facilitator, somebody else would have said, oh, I absolutely love that, right? Like, and that's the beauty also of co-creation. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also understanding skill sets. Like for me, for example, I absolutely love facilitating, but I'm not the best organizer. That's why I'm now always collaborating with organizers, because I know they are so much better with it. And other people, like even in the coaching scene, people say, oh, I don't enjoy coaching. And I'm like, why are you a coach then, you know? So some people are really good and loving marketing and the business side of it, but they don't enjoy coaching. So I think this is also really important. And I think we know that then, right? But I believe we can only know that when we have experienced that. The same thing, if you have never eaten coconut ice cream, how will you know that you don't like it? Just if you say like, oh, I love coconut ice cream, like I don't still know how it tastes, right? Like you can describe it to me, you can tell me the texture, and I'm like, sounds nice, I'm curious to try it or not, but I will still not know how it tastes before I taste it myself, right?
I love that example so much, because that's really the difference between a conceptual understanding of something and an experiential understanding of something from your unique fractal, right? Like, because you're going to experience coconut ice cream different than somebody else is going to experience coconut ice cream, but you're going to actually experience it through your being and through your body than just an understanding of, okay, coconut ice cream would kind of taste like coconut, but it may be kind of like ice cream. Yeah, so wonderful. So wonderful.
Now I'm like, I desire to coconut ice cream.
I know. I'm like, I really want
to. I'm like, how do I get coconut ice cream now?
We like lit that up in the space. Yeah, so wonderful. So Eva, how can people reach out to you? You have such a beautiful light about you. And I just like your energy and your voice is very joyful. How can people reach out to you and connect with you more?
Yeah, so the best is I actually Instagram or my website. So in Instagram, it's the Pleasure Queen Eva. And my website is actually my name, evarider.com. And yeah, so I offer retreats. I also like, I combine always like online and offline elements. I have a program called the Pleasure Queen to really, yeah, teach the connection with the body and discover the body more. And I always work on all levels. I kind of combine the energy healing aspect of theta healing and the clearings and the activations on energy levels. And the embodiment, because I worked in the beginning with a lot of theta healers. And of course, we can activate all these energies within us, clear the shame, clear the old stories. But at some point, if you want to run a marathon, you have to put on your running shoes and run, right? I mean, it's one part is the energetic activation. And this is also what I'm teaching in Pleasure Queen, like, okay, discovering the body more and understanding like how breath work works on the body, how different touch components work on our bodies. Because I personally believe, and I hear in the beginning, I heard it so much. Yeah, but my lover. And I'm like, why are you outsourcing the responsibility of pleasure to somebody else, right? Pleasure is your priority. It should be your priority. And you have to understand yourself first, because then when you know what turns you on, and if you know what doesn't turn you on, and what is fun for you and what's not fun for you, then obviously whoever you play with, it's a very different game. It's a very different play, and you can guide them in a really nice way and say like, oh, I actually like that more. Or, you know, like you can also educate them more on your body without being, you know, angry because they don't know. Because how can somebody else know what you like if you don't know that?
And you also do retreats to Egypt, correct?
Yes, yes. I normally go once a year to Egypt. I also offer different destinations, but Egypt is really, it's a soul calling. I feel this very deep connection to Egypt and to this ancient feminine wisdom. I believe a lot of women, especially in our kind of work environment, they have this deep incarnation or past lives or codes from that lifetime. And in Egypt, obviously in ancient Egypt, the feminine was worshipped. It was a very different society. Sacred sexuality was something extremely different that we are experiencing now. The knowledge around sexuality and embodiment was very different. And a lot of women, like since a couple of years, feel that very deep calling to go back there, to go to these temples, to go to the pyramids and kind of get their cones, get their healings. And I love doing that. I feel like for me, it's like bringing the priestesses back to their home and helping them in a really interesting way to remember who they are. And I believe these transmissions and these experiences, I mean, even if I would do it online, it's not the same. And being in that place, and I think it's also very interesting because every time we go as a group, we can be in the same temple and everybody shares a very different experience. It's so interesting because it's very unique whatever your soul and your body wants to kind of collect from these sacred places. So yeah, Egypt is a very soul calling task to bring women there. I do it normally once a year, so it's a very, very fun journey.
Okay, yeah, I've definitely been to Egypt and I really loved going. And I would imagine each time you go back, you get to experience it differently, right? Because as we spiral through our own evolution, our own expansion, you get to revisit things from a new lens of perspective.
Totally. And I mean, I go every year. So, you know, obviously as a facilitator, it's a little bit different than a participate. But, you know, like, I mean, each year I get new downloads. I can go to the same temple. And I mean, and it's very unique every single time. I mean, I've been, and it's also like, for example, I always have private access in the pyramid and in the Isis temple. I think it's a very unique experience to have the temple just exclusively for the group. And every single time I've been there myself, I got very different downloads, very different experiences. And I mean, it's the same building, right? It's or the same sacred space, but it's really because, of course, I go with a different group, the information I have involved in my journey. So the kind of codes and information that I'm receiving this time is obviously different what I have received 3 years ago, right? So it's, yeah, it's very unique.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I had private time in the temples as well. And that is just so precious. Like when I go back to Egypt, I will absolutely ensure that, yeah, I get that private time because that's just totally a different experience entirely. So beautiful, so beautiful. Okay, so now is the time for our activation. And so I always say, if you're driving, you can always listen to this and then you can come back to it and listen to it when you can be really more present with your body and with this moment. Or if you're doing other tasks, be sure, even regardless if you can't sit completely closed eyes and in complete presence, you can still receive, listen and receive it into your body. And then you can always just revisit it. And as always, there's nothing that you have to experience during any of these. Whatever you are experiencing is absolutely perfect. So for those who can, let's go ahead and close our eyes. And let's start by taking three nice deep breaths in through our nose and out through our mouth. Breathing down into your body. Breathing down into your diaphragm. Really filling your body up with breath. Allowing yourself to feel that expansion of the inhale and that release of the exhale. Now breathing all the way down into your pelvis. As you breathe and your pelvis now ever so subtly expands, and you exhale and you let go. Breathing all the way down, inhaling, expanding, exhaling, letting go. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And for a moment, taking your awareness to your root chakra, as we're connecting to the mother Gaia, the earth vibration here at the root chakra, and breathing here with your awareness at the root. We're going to play a little bit of energy of contrast here, okay? So feeling that root chakra, it's a more dense energy, and allowing yourself to just breathe into it, breathe into, relax into the denseness, okay? It's not heavy, it's dense. There's a difference. Just relaxing your body with each breath, with each exhalation, you're letting go and allowing the body to relax into the denseness. Softening and relaxing more into your body. Without judgment, without resistance, just relaxing and allowing yourself to feel that denseness. The denseness has an experience. The denseness has a sensation that is valuable for you, a sensation that does help you to learn more about yourself and more about your body. So gift yourself this moment right here. Right now, breathing, holding your awareness on your root chakra. And I'm going to bring in some sounds, bringing in some sounds as we open the root chakra, and as we expand and deepen down into the denseness of the physical. Breathing there, breathing and listening, breathing and being. To breathe into your body. Exhale, you're letting go. Exhale, you're releasing, releasing and letting go. Opening those root chakras. Opening to the mother. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Take one more nice deep breath all the way down into your body. Exhale, letting go. And then for contrast, now we're going to take our awareness to the crown, to the Father, to the ethereal energy. So holding your awareness now at the crown, And breathing there for a moment as we invite the crown chakras to open, inviting the soul star, inviting the ethereal energy now to be felt in your space, inviting that very, very light energy to be felt in your space. And breathing here now, breathing with your awareness on your crown, same thing, holding your energy there, same thing. Even though this feels lighter, you still want to breathe into it. You still want to relax into it, open up into the lightness, open up into the ethereal aspect of self. Breathing there. I'm going to bring in some sound here. Breathing and holding your awareness at your crown. Crown chakra, keep breathing, expanding, allowing. Deep breaths, opening, opening, opening. And lastly, we're going to drop down into the heart, bringing awareness down to the heart. This is where the duality meets. This is where duality meets and God is revealed. This is where the mother and the father, the meet and the child is revealed. This is where your soul is revealed. And holding your awareness there at your heart, we're just going to take some breaths there at the heart, breathing directly in your heart. Breathing and receiving as your heart chakras are open front and back. Exhaling, letting go. Breathing and receiving directly through your heart chakras. Exhaling, letting go. Surrendering, softening, relaxing into the child. Relaxing into where heaven and earth meet. Relaxing into where the father and the mother merge. Relaxing into oneness. Relaxing into oneness and breathing directly through the heart here. Directly through the heart here. Nga drung yera va drung ya la mandri. Unga la triye a la vur. Vur. Ungia. Ungia. Nice deep breath. Just letting go, letting go, letting go. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. One last deep breath through your body and beyond. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes. Come back to this moment. Yum, yum, yum.
Beautiful.
Eva, yay. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been such a pleasure.
I knew we would have a delicious conversation, and we did.
Yes, yes, yes. So grateful for it.
Yes. Thank you so much for your time and your presence and your wisdom and your joy.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you to the audience, as always, for being here with us today, for experiencing this, for showing up, for having the courage. It takes so much courage to be in our bodies and show up as the fullness of who we are. And here you are, you're listening and you're inviting yourself into more fullness of self. So be sure to share this episode with others that you think need to hear these messages and that you feel could be drawn to this experience. Also, be sure to subscribe and remember that we do have a Facebook community, the Ecstatic Woman Podcast community on Facebook that you can join and be a part of the community. And otherwise, until next time, I love you all so very much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.